through that. Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 25. Thou shalt make it an oil of a holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Verse 31, thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither yet shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Sounds like God means it to me. Whoso compoundeth any like it, or whoso putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Galatians chapter 2, I believe I could probably say this safely, probably the most quoted and well-known scripture out of the Galatian letter, verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that ought to make everybody want son a shout amen. Hallelujah. Who loved me and gave himself for me. One more scripture, very familiar. You'll be wondering, scratching your head at me, wondering how I'm going to tie all this together. And without the help of the Holy Ghost, it might not happen. But if he'll come help me, I believe we can. Revelations 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I might come in and sup with him and he with me. Huh? I didn't read that right? Oh, well, let me look at it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, it's possible that I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Did I get it right that time? Hello? Must be one of them funny Bibles. Hallelujah, I'm reading out of. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Aren't you glad for that promise? I will come in. Stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to touch us. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for this meeting and everything that you've done. Lord, this is another night. I need you to anoint me now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't only anoint my lips, but anoint the ears of everyone in this congregation. Anoint us, Lord, not only to hear the Word of God, but to respond to it in the manner that we should. Move on us by your Spirit and by your power. Move around these altars in a mighty way. And everyone said together, amen and amen. I will give you my title in just a little bit. I'm going to preach tonight for a little while on the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to lay just a tense bit of a foundation. We're gone so much from home that when we do get to go home, it's kind of hard to roust us out. And I live up in the hills of Oklahoma back in the sticks, and it's a big long drive to go to Walmart, and it's just the way I like it. Hallelujah. Told somebody I put a deer camera in my front yard and last year and had pictures of big bucks with my house in the background. And so that's my kind of living. And out there in sticks, I guess I've already said that. Say it again. But when we get home, a lot of times we just kind of hard to get us to leave to go do anything that we don't have to. And this year, New Year's Eve night, we happened to be home, and while all of our friends was gathering together and having their little New Year's Eve get-together, I was sitting in front of the fireplace in my big easy chair with my feet propped up with a book in my hand, and I was enjoying the evening the way I wanted to. And the children was, I don't know where they is at. They might have been upstairs in their playroom or whatever they's doing at the moment. I know me and Sister Darla was sitting down there listening to the fire crackle out of the fireplace and enjoying ourselves. When it came time to the new year was about to be ushered in, I called my family all around, and we gathered around there and talked about the blessings that the Lord had bestowed on us last year and different places we had been and how God had blessed them and us and different revivals and things. Then I told them, I said, the Spirit of God has spoke to me about this year for us. Now, I can't talk about other people's ministries and other evangelists and whatever they're doing. God has to deal with them, and I whatever God tells them, God bless them. But I said, for us, this is what God has dealt with me for us in this year. I said, God has dealt with me that we need to see people baptized in the real power of the Holy Ghost. Hello? I'm not talking about in some sort of tongue that they talk in for 5 minutes and go home and doesn't change anything about them. I'm so sick of seeing that, I can't hardly stand it. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, that after it has come upon you, you receive power. Like it said in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, that power comes along with that, and it changes the way you testify, and it changes the way you sing, and it changes the way you pray, and it changes the way you worship, and it changes the way you respond. Oh, come on, I ain't waiting to preach, I already am. It changes the way that you move in the presence of God. I want to tell you, there's a Holy Ghost that will change you. Can you say amen? And I want to talk about it to you here tonight. Now, I would have to tell you right up front that the devil has done his very best to cheapen the experience of the Holy Ghost. There's people that think that they can go in a back room somewhere and teach somebody to say something real fast 3 times over and over and tell them you've got the Holy Ghost. Listen, y'all, I have run into demon-possessed people that I have listened to them speak in another tongue. The only problem was the Spirit was not giving the utterance. Y'all's looking at me funny now, but I have heard it. I've heard the devil talk in tongues. I must tell you this tonight. The tongues are simply a sign that he is dwelling in you. I said that's all that is. It's something that spills over out of you after that the Holy Ghost fills you up to the brim. It is evidence to the world and the church around you that you have him. Can you say amen? But I want to tell you this. Tongues are like dipping a needle in a bucket of water and pulling it out, and the one drop that drops off of the end, that is really about what the tongues amount to in the real power of the Holy Ghost. Now, there are people today that would like to experience the Holy Ghost, but I must tell you there are some things that are required before the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Some of these are going to be very elementary. First thing is, you can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost unless you're saved. Salvation is a necessary ingredient to you having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he said. If you got to open the door and let him in. I want to tell you something tonight. If you're here and you have never came to the altar and you have never opened the door and said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life, this is the best night you ever seen to get that started. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've listened to a lot of testifying in my life. I'm going to take my time, preach to you here a little bit tonight. But I've listened to a lot of testifying in my life. Heard a lot of testimonies through the years. I've heard great testimonies. I've heard humorous testimonies. I've heard testimonies I wished I'd have never heard. But I've never heard anybody stand up and say, I wished I'd have waited a little while before I got saved. I wished I'd have waited a year and went to another party. I wished I'd have went to another this, that, or another. A ball game or race car or a track. Or I wish I'd have done something else. Well, I have never heard that in my life. But I'll tell you what I have heard over and over and over and over and over again. I have heard people say, I wish I'd have got saved years ago. I wish I'd have never went into the pit of sin. I kind of thought it was funny. Now, you know, we say that so much. Not long ago, a pastor was telling me that a little old 6-year-old boy got up in this church and said, I thank God I'm saved. And he said, my only regret is I didn't start younger. 6 years old. Well, that was kind of funny. But you know what? He had heard that out of others sitting in the church. I wish I'd have started earlier. I want to tell you tonight, if you'll come to this altar and get saved, you'll look back and say, my goodness, why didn't I do that a long time ago? The night Jerry Mayfield got saved, that was Brother Curly Mayfield's son. Brother Curly was the pastor there at Payton back then. The night he got saved, he came to the altar. Man, he'd never been saved. He was in his 20s. My dad had got saved, and Jerry was the bartender. My mind's going blank here, but Mr. Lee was the, and I know him like everything, but anyway, Jimmy Lee was the bar owner, Jerry Mayfield was the bartender, and my dad sang the blues and played the guitar in the bar there at Prague. Dad got saved, hallelujah, and God changed his life. Jimmy Lee got saved one night in a revival there. Mom said while he was on his way down the aisle, he got saved before he ever got to the altar. I got news for you tonight. Doesn't matter where you open the door. When you open the door, he will come in. Can you say amen? We have made salvation a little too hard, I think, some of the time. But what I remember is when that jailer walked out and fell down and said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got news for you. When you believe he is the Lord and you open the door and say, I'm getting the devil out and I'm letting Jesus in, I got good news. He will come in. Jerry Mayfield came down the aisle that night. Boy, I don't want to get bogged down in this sermon. But my mind's going 97 miles an hour. They had got in a great revival at Payton. Mom and Dad was driving by the bar, and one night Mom said, Freddie, stop. And Dad said, well, Shirley, what are you going to do? She said, that's Jerry's car right there. I'm going to leave a note in his car. She left him a note. Jerry, we're having revival. You need to get right with God. Come to church. Jerry said later, I got in there and opened that up. Said I went to bawling and squalling. Mom got to doing that every night. Finally, he got mad. Tried to hide his car. Mom would make Dad drive around the block till she could find it. She had put a note in there. You better get right with God. Jerry said, I got so mad I'd get in my car. I'd see it. Said I'd wad it up, throw it in the back seat. Said I wouldn't even look at it. He said, I'd get halfway home. I don't know where my hanky went. Said I'd get halfway home. Said I'd pull the car over and get to crawling around in the back seat. I look at for that note until I found it and I'd read it. Are y'all hearing me? Brother, I got news for you. We need some people today that'll realize, hey, God's wanting to save some people. The days of revival aren't over. The door of salvation isn't shut. Amen, amen. He's still standing at the door. That night when Jerry came to the altar, there's a long story and I'm not going to tell it all. That night when he came to the altar, he prayed a little while and he started to get up. Somebody said, Jerry, try it again. And Jerry dropped his head and prayed a little bit. And after he prayed a little bit and he wasn't feeling nothing, he said to himself, I'm a getting up. I don't care what anybody says. But he said, when I went to get up that time, my dad, he said, he called him Freddie. He said, Freddie, they were best friends, roommates in college. He said, when I started to get up, he said, Freddie looked at me, tears running down his face, and said, Jerry, try it one more time. He said, because it's Freddie, I'll try it again. They said it wasn't 5 minutes till the glory of God came down. Said he jumped up and went to shouting and dancing around the altar, and he said, Dad, grab Brother Curly Mayfield. And he said, Dad, why didn't you tell me it was this good? He said, son, I've been trying for 26 years, and you just wouldn't listen to me. I got news for y'all. I don't know about y'all, but the day I let him in, that's the greatest thing I ever did, the greatest decision I ever made, is when I opened the door and let him in. Can you say amen? Well, you must be born again. Hallelujah. When you open the door, say, Lord, I want you to come in. The devil has got to get out, because a stronger than he has showed up. Hallelujah. Somebody bigger than he is has showed up. He kicks the devil out in the street on the curb. Hello? I said he kicks the devil out on the curb and tells him he is no longer welcome. Oh, I could preach for a little while there, but I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you something in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I couldn't get loose by myself. You couldn't get loose by yourself. But aren't you glad somebody greater than you stepped into the equation? I kicked the devil out of your life. I said, kick the devil and sin out. Amen, amen. Thank God for Jesus. We liken Egypt to sin and salvation to the freedom from bondage. We sang about it. I was once in Egypt's bondage. Deliverance came to me. Egypt was once my home. I was a slave. Old camp meeting songs that we sing. Hello? And we sang all kinds of things about that deliverance that God made for us. But I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to this. Immediately following verse 2, the next thing he says is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I brought you out. I delivered you. Hello? But you can't have any other gods besides me. I want to preach tonight for a little while. You thought I was through, and I'm just giving you my text. I want to preach tonight for a little while on get him up. Get him up. I want to tell you this. God will throw the devil out when you open the door and let him in. But he will not fight for supremacy in your life. I said he will not fight for supremacy in your life. In this passage of scripture that I read to you, he said, listen, there's going to be an oil of holy ointment. This is a type of the Holy Ghost, a holy anointing oil. Hallelujah. It is a type of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God. This is what he says about it, and I need to preach on this tonight. He says, on man's flesh, it shall not be
poured. Somebody say amen. It shall not be poured on man's flesh. Hey, he will throw the devil out. But I have to be crucified with Christ. That is why the writer said, I am. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, it is Christ that is living in me. I need to tie all this together. John is standing there. He's been telling them, there's somebody coming whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to loose. He said he's a coming. Oh, hallelujah. All of these years since Exodus, there had been this sacrifice, one lamb right after another. All that lamb did was push back. I said it, all it did was push back God and his judgment. It didn't, it just covered their sin. So that God could not see it. All the blood. But that day when Jesus appeared on that Judean hillside, John said these words, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's not going to cover it. I said he's not going to cover it. He's the only one that has the power to take it away. Can you say amen? He's going to get rid of it. He's not only going to pay the price for it, but when you say, Lord, I'm opening the door, I want sin to get out, Christ is the only one that has the power to take your sin away. And one writer said, he nails it to his own cross. Hallelujah. Thank God for the day he took our sin away. Can you say amen? Jesus walks in. I can only imagine what John felt like. Jesus said, I want to be baptized. John, after a little persuasion, does what he's supposed to do. Jesus comes up out of the water. The heavens are open. Here comes a dove descending on Christ. A voice from out of heaven. Hallelujah. We got a dove right up here in this picture, and that's what that is representative of. We still use that all over Christendom today. That descending dove of the Holy Ghost. That voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son. He was not talking about Mohammed. He was not talking about Buddha. Somebody help this preacher. He was not talking about anybody else. He said, this is him right here. There's shall be salvation in no other. I want to tell you, the Hindu they don't mind you talking to them about Christ because they'll just add him to all the other thousands of gods that they have. But when you look at them and say he's the only one and he's the only way, they'll get mad at you then. Are y'all hearing me? I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how mad they get, he is still the only way. Can you say amen? I said he is still the only way. It's Jesus and nothing else. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey said. Hello? She's wrong on most everything I ever heard come out of her mouth anyway. And she's really wrong on that right there. There ain't a lot of ways to get to heaven. There's just one way to the pearly gate. Y'all's looking at me funny. I said, it's just one way. It's what's going to get us thrown in jail. It's what's going to get us killed. Are y'all hearing me? It's what's going to make the world fight mad. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah. But he is. He is the only beloved son in whom he is as well pleased. Can you say amen? The Holy Ghost comes down on him. Now I want to tell you something. If you're seeking for the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm preaching tonight on get him up. I want to tell you how to get the Holy Ghost. Get Christ up in the very highest place you can put him in your life. Amen, amen. You want the Holy Ghost to fall in your church? Get Christ up to the highest place in your life. Because I come to preach this to you tonight. He will not fall on your flesh, but it is still Christ that he is falling on today. It is the Christ that is in you that he is coming down on. He'll not fall on your flesh. Your flesh will never get good enough. You'll never clean it up enough to make it holy before God. But when I get Christ where he belongs in my life, and I get him sitting on the throne, the Holy Ghost is going to come down. I said the Holy Ghost is going to come down on Christ.
Hello? We have some way have an unspoken doctrine among us that the Holy Ghost is an option that we add to our spiritual vehicle. Hello? We have two unspoken doctrines among us. One is that the Holy Ghost is an option that we add to the vehicle. And number two is that when we get that option, we got it all. And nowhere else to go from here. I'm sitting at the pinnacle of Christianity. I'm saved, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Ghost. I got it. Hello? I'm going to tell you something. I'm running into people and they say, "Preacher, I've tried for years and I can't get the Holy Ghost." Here's what I've got to tell you about that. When you get Christ where he belongs in your life, you won't be able to keep the Holy Ghost out. Y'all ain't hearing me preach tonight. I said when you get Christ where he belongs in your life, when you get Christ where he belongs, you'll start cleaning things out of your own life. Can you say amen? You'll start laying things down out of your own life because you will realize that is a flesh feeder and I can't have that in my life. I've got to get that flesh feeder out of here. I've got to have everything lined up. Don't you fasten your seatbelt on me. We've got to a place when the preacher starts preaching like this, everybody tightens down. Are y'all hearing me? Listen to me, brother and sister. I'm not worried about your personal convictions. I just wish people had personal convictions anymore. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you what, brother. There may be things you can do and places you can go that I may not can. You know why? I'm different than you are. But I got news for you. When you get to asking him, how can I get you up to the highest place in my life? I tell you, everything will be on the table. Somebody help his preacher. I said, everything will be on the table because I want him on the top priority above everything else. When I get him there, the Holy Ghost is going to endue me with power from on high. Can you say amen? One old boy back in Oklahoma come walking in from work one day, started carrying groceries in the house. Number one thing, his wife about fainted. Number one, he wasn't a grocery shopper. Number two, it wasn't the day to buy groceries. And number three, she never bought groceries in that quantity. He kept dragging groceries in the house, laying them on the table and on the bar. She's standing there all bug-eyed, stammering around. When he got through, she said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost." He said, "I took a 2-week vacation off of work, and I went and bought you and the kids 2 weeks worth of groceries." He said,
If I haven't come down out of my upstairs office in 2 weeks, he said, you call them, tell them I want another week off, and here is some money for another week's worth of groceries. I'm not coming down until I get Christ up where he belongs in my life. Brother John Gabbard, he put his foot on the first step, and God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. Hey, are y'all hearing me? You knew what it was God saw. He's going to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset him. I got news for y'all. Anything, I said anything and everything, is worth us having a move of the Holy Ghost in this last day and hour. I'm not going to compare myself to you. Hey, brother, are you hearing me? I'm not going to look over there and justify myself by somebody else. What I'm going to do is say, Lord, how can I get you up as high as I can in my own life?
You start selling out like that, you'll do things that'll make your friends raise their eyebrows. Are you hearing me? They'll go, really? They'll even go as far as church members will go as far as say, you know, I really don't see anything wrong with that. Okay? That's fine. You keep it. I'm going to get Christ up as high as I can. Come on now. You just keep on doing that. That's fine. My priority is I want to get him up as high as I can, because I know when I do, let the Spirit descend like a beautiful dove as it did upon Jesus that day. I got news for you, brother. When we get him up as a church, when we get him up as an individual where he belongs, I got news, the Spirit of God is going to come down and inhabit the house. I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time today, I am preaching to second, third, fourth, and even in some places, fifth generation Pentecostals. I am preaching to people that know most of the things that I'm going to say before they ever come out of my mouth. And the problem is as a church world, we have relegated Christ to a secondary position in our life, and then have the audacity to ask the question, why aren't we seeing a move of God like we used to? Oh, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Get under conviction. Don't get mad. Are you hearing me? Years back, the phone rang one night at home. My mother picked up the phone, and on the other end, Brother Ben and Sister Opalie Shaw was on the other end. My mother, very groggily, she had already been asleep a little bit. She said to Sister Shaw, she said, oh, Sister Shaw, she said, did you get my letter? And then it dawned on my mother, she had just sent it that morning. There was no way that it got it. You know, she's half asleep. When she said that, I'm not being disrespectful, I'm repeating a conversation. When she said that, Sister Opalie said, Ben, I told you, if they was on our mind like that, we would be on their mind. Brother Ben got my dad on the phone and said, Brother Freddie, I want y'all to come start me a revival. Dad said, Brother Ben, I don't know how I feel about that. He said, I've just started a Christian school here, and Shirley has never preached a revival away from me since we've been married, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. And Brother Ben said, well, I, you pray about it. I felt God move on me. You pray about it and ask God what he thinks about it, and then you get back with me. My dad said later, I hung up the telephone, and when I did, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, y'all go down there and start a revival.
So we packed up and went down there. I was about six and a half years old. I can remember it well, though. We went down there and started revival. Me and Dad got in the car. We started revival on Saturday night. And me and Dad got in the car and drove back home Sunday afternoon to be in school. We would be in school all week, and on Friday evening, we would get out. And we would drive 300 miles, and when you're 300 miles to me anymore, that's like going on a Sunday afternoon stroll. But 300 miles when you're 6 years old feels like from here to California. And we would get in the car, and Brother Jarvis, we would head down to Fountain. I need to preach to y'all tonight. Y'all are looking at me funny, so I might as well preach as long as you're looking at me like that. And we as a driving, we had drive down there and go to revival. They got to having a move of God. I'm going to tell you why they got to having a move of God. Because a bunch of people got to getting Christ as high as they could in their life. You want to know why we don't have some of the moves we used to have? Because we don't have what I'm fixing to tell you. Sister Pauline Tiff Taylor's husband come to Brother Ben. He said, Brother Ben, I have been timing my wife, Sister Pauline. He said she's been praying 8 hours at a time in our cellar for us to have a soul-saving revival. Are y'all hearing me? Brother, I want to tell you what that is. That is getting your flesh down and him up. Somebody say amen. One sister grabbed the telephone book, picked it up, and spent days. She called every number in the telephone book. That telephone book was that thick. She called every number in there and invited them to the house of God. Woo! I remember, I've never been a mama's boy. And my mom hates to hear me say that. But it's just the truth of the matter. I've always been real close to my dad. But when you're 6 years old and you haven't seen your mother all week, you're kind of ready to see her. And I can remember I would jump out of the car most of the time. By the time we got there, Sister Jarvis, oh, I hope I'm not boring y'all, it'd be about 8:30. And if they weren't shouting the place down, I would run in there in the old church there at Fountain. There was a back glass that was tinted on the nursery. I'd run in that nursery, and I'd grab a chair. I'd pull it up under the window, and I'd look in there, and I'd watch my mom preach. She'd have seen me. She'd have probably lost her concentration, but I'd watch her preach. One night I came in there, 6 years old. Oh, I remember this. I'm needing to preach to y'all tonight. I'm a preaching on Get Him Up. I walked in one night. She was on the platform preaching. She had her shoes off. And she was just in her stocking feet. And I got to listening to her preach. And she was preaching, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. I looked down at the first pew. Everybody on that pew's shoes were piled in the aisle. I looked at the second pew. Everybody's shoes was in the aisle. By the time I got to the third pew, Brother Jarvis, I knew at 6 years old who the old hard sinners were. They were sitting right underneath me. I remember looking underneath me, and there at the end of them old sinners' pew, all of their shoes was stacked up in the middle of the floor. I remember that night when she gave the altar call, them old hard sinner men walking to the altar in their sock feet. Are y'all hearing me? You say they can't happen anymore. I say it can. If the church will get him up. I said if we'll just get him up where he belongs. I come to tell you that same spirit is available today. Raise your hands and magnify God. One Saturday night, me and Dad drove over 3,000 miles in that revival back and forth. One Saturday night,
Sister Pauline Teff Taylor that had been doing the praying, like I said, began to dance down the aisle. She danced up on the platform, sat down at an organ that she did not know how to play a note on, and played the beautifulest music straight out of heaven you've ever heard in your life. Isaiah heard it. She played the organ like nobody you've ever heard. When she got through, this is what she said. You don't know how to have your whole Sunday morning crowd back? Get full of the Holy Ghost. Because here's what Sister Pauline said. She said, tomorrow morning, I'm going to just use a number because I can't remember exactly. But at 5 minutes after 11, so-and-so's coming through that door and going to get right with God. After church that night, I got to listening to the grown-ups. And this is what they were saying. We don't even know where that person's at. We haven't seen them in years. We don't even know where they're located. Are y'all hearing me? But I'll guarantee you everybody was there on Sunday morning, Brother Greg. And about 11 o'clock, they went to watching the door. At 11:05, the back doors opened up, and that man came walking in. He didn't stop at the aisle. He didn't stop at a seat. He walked all the way down the aisle to the altar. Why? Because somebody had got God up in them until the Holy Ghost was resting on them. Are y'all hearing me? I tell you, it can happen again. You can have it if you want it. You can have it. Like the Bible said, somebody say, God, I want it for myself. I need to get him up where he belongs in my life.
When that revival was over, lasted 8 weeks. 48 had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. 46 people had been saved. But the astounding thing about it is, Brother Shaw told us later, almost every week for 5 years after that revival was over, he said someone was saved, sanctified, or baptized in my Holy Ghost in my church every week for 5 years after that revival was over with. You go there today, you'll see the results. They're not in that little old red church anymore, Brother John Gabbard. They're in a whole different place. Come on, are y'all hearing me preach? Because some people said, I got to get him up. Oh, I don't feel like I'm getting this across. I've got to get him up. We got in revival at my home church years back. Hallelujah. We got there. I done got away from the message and following the Holy Ghost here. We got in revival there, and one night we was having a move of God. And one night while we was, I don't know where we was at. Somebody was singing, or I believe we was taking an offering. A man came walking in the back foyer, came walking straight down the aisle and fell down at the altar. My pastor looked over at me and said, do you know him? Never seen him in my life. Brother Aaron walked over here and looked at one of the deacons that knows a lot of folks around and said, you know who that is? Never seen him in my life. We just fell around him and went to praying. He is a praying and a begging God to have mercy on him. After a while, he prayed all the way through. We was about in the fifth week of revival. By then, we had been having a move of God. We had already baptized 50 some odd. And in the old pond, hallelujah, we was having a move. At night when he got saved, Brother Jarvis, I'm telling you. He opened the door and let Christ walk right in. Hallelujah. After he got saved, this is what he said. Brother Aaron said, how'd you know about revival? He said, what revival? He said, how did you know about us having church? He said, I didn't know anything about y'all having church. Brother Aaron said, who invited you? He said, nobody. Brother Aaron said, well, what are you doing here? He said, I was a hitchhiking down the road. And when I got in front of this church, something jumped on me and said, you better get in there and get right with God right now.
I got news for you, brother. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't work that up. I said you can't work that up. Are y'all listening to me? That only comes down from another world. And it'll only happen when the church decides I'm going to get him up where he belongs. For if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me.
In my life, church, we have compared ourselves among ourselves for way too long. We have justified things that are hindering us from a move of God by saying so-and-so does it. Are y'all hearing me? But I'm going to tell you what, when you get really hungry for a move of the Holy Ghost, you'll say it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You'll start lifting him up for your own self. Can I tell this right for and through? I was preaching revival several years ago for Brother Tommy Tolliver in Sand Springs. One night, an old brother that Brother Jarvis will probably know or know of was there, brother. My mind just went blank as a board. Who? Huh? Yeah, Brother John Romine. Mind's going crazy. Brother John Romine was there. He was in his 90s. He was a-sitting, Brother Greg, right where you're sitting right now. Holy Ghost fell in that service that night. No, Brother John, he was 92, I believe. He held on to the edge of that pew and shouted all out in the aisle. Woo! It blessed me. I shouted with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, why'd you say that? Because I'm going to tell you this. When you decide, I'm going to get him up in my life, it's going to affect somebody sitting close to you. Y'all ain't hearing me preach. When you decide, I'm going to sail out and I'm going to put him on the throne, I got news for you. You're not going to go into the glory by yourself. Somebody else is going to go in with you. And when you get to where the glory is falling, somebody else is going to feel the rain. I said they're going to feel the rain of the Holy Ghost too. The end of that service, Brother Tolliver said, Brother Romine, I want you to testify. Brother Romine stood up. He said, when I got saved, he said, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. He said, I'd never felt nothing like it. Woo! He said, I felt like I could fly. I felt light as a feather. He said, I walked out of there thinking I was walking on a cloud. He said, I felt so good. He said, it wasn't a few nights later, though, some of them old saints come to me and said, John, said, if you think the salvation is good, you ought to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's better. He said, better than salvation? Ooh, I got to get that. He said, and this is what the old 92-year-old brother said that I don't believe I'll ever forget. He said, they did not tell me that I had to have the Holy Ghost to get into heaven. They told me all you need to get into heaven is have your sin washed in the blood. But he said they told me that I was going to need the Holy Ghost to get to the gate. Hey, are y'all hearing me? They didn't tell me I was going to have it to get in. They just told me I was going to have it if I was going to make it all the way to the gate. I got news for you. We're walking through a world that's wickeder than anything I ever seen. I'll tell you what, we're needing a church world that'll get him up where he belongs until the Spirit comes down on us and endues us with power. Is there anybody that would like to be endued with power from on high? Woo! I'm trying to quit. I usually don't do that. Last night, I got one more thing to say. You say, you know what, preacher? I'm not real sure that's all that necessary. Okay. Let me tell you this. We had an old brother back in our country. His name was Clyde Dawson. Brother Clyde, he was an interesting fellow. I loved Brother Clyde. Woo, he was ugly. He was not pretty. And boy, when the Spirit got on him, Brother Greg, he got doubled down on that ugly. Do you hear me?
I ain't lying to you.
He'd go into awfulest contortions you ever seen. A waller. Stagger all over the place. It's the truth. I've seen it many, 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 many times. One time, old Brother Buck Moore told his boys, said, you know, I don't think all that's necessary. I think some of that's put on. Till one night he came to church and for 2 weeks hadn't hardly been able to lay down because his back was out of place. Old Brother Clyde went into one of his fits, ran his hand right down the middle of Brother Buck's back, and Brother Buck jumped up healed by the power of God. On the way home he told his boys, I believe there is something to that. Y'all ain't up in this house tonight. I'm going to tell you, the world will not ever understand the Holy Ghost. But when it starts working on the church, they'll know it's for real. Hey, I said they'll know that it is for real when you get him up where he belongs. One night in the middle of the night, Brother Clyde lived in Payton, a little old town. About 7 miles from where I was raised, central Oklahoma. One night in the middle of the night, Brother Clyde sat bolt right up in the bed, speaking in other tongues at the top of his lungs. Sister Lucille was a spooky person anyway, and he enjoyed scaring her all the time. She sat slam up in the bed beside him, went to screaming and hollering. Oh, God! She's a-crying. Clyde! Clyde, 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 what are you doing, Clyde? Why are you, he's a-talking in tongues at the top of his lungs. After a while, he quit, Sister Arlene. Sister Lucille's a-crying, shaking in the bed. She said, Clyde, what are you doing? He said, I don't know. He said, I just woke up talking in tongues like that. She said, why? He said, I don't know. What they didn't know is about 10 miles down the road, there's Boley. There's a prison there. A man had broke out of prison that night and was standing in their kitchen. Had just got in one of their drawers and pulled a butcher knife out. When the Holy Ghost fell on Brother Clyde out of a dead sleep, and he sat bolt right up in the bed and began to speak in other tongues. Are y'all hearing me? That man ran down the road and turned himself into the police. Hey brother, I got news for you. That's the kind of Holy Ghost I need. Somebody say amen. I said that's the kind of Holy Ghost I'm in need of today, and I want to get him up, stand all over the house. I said I want to get him up where he belongs. Somebody raise your hands and say, Lord, I'm ready. Hey, is there anybody here tonight that would break out of your pew and say, I'm coming to this altar. I got my mind made up. I'm going to get him up where he belongs in my life. Anybody? Anybody? I ain't giving a long altar call. I'm just telling you. Do you want to get him up where he belongs? Are you willing to lay aside every weight? Are you willing to lay aside everything? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm ready to crucify my flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. I'm going to let the power of God endue me with power from on high. I got to have it like the Bible says.